So now we look to our Brother Wally for the first part of his address, the House of Prayer for All Nations.
Mr. Chairman, brethren and sisters, and young people, we live in very exciting times, do we not? We see around us the things transpiring before our eyes, of which the prophets have spoken through the word of God ages past. And now, brethren and sisters, it can be faithfully said that we no longer walk by faith, we are walking by sight. That long period of time, according to the covenant of Moses, made to the fathers, the curses of the law came in operation, and they were driven and scattered from their land for 2,520 years. The longest time period in the Word of God, it was fulfilled in 1917. And from that time we see the motions at work amongst the nations, for the time to favour Zion has come. The Master told us that there shall be signs in the sun, moon and stars. And with the preeminent sign in the scriptures, Isaiah 44 and 43 tells us, "Ye are my witnesses." And in 1967, the Star of David ascended to the Gentile heavens. They will never be removed. The Gentile heavens shall fall to the earth. In 1967, they were accredited as the fourth world military power. Brothers and sisters, the time to favor Zion has come. And we can look around the scene about the world around us, and we see the seas and the waves roaring, distress on every hand. The major politicians of the world don't know where to turn, because they don't know what will transpire tomorrow, figuratively speaking. And so we take courage. The theme of this year's study has been the things which shall be hereafter. We are on the point, brothers and sisters, where that will no longer appear apparent, because they shall be a literality in the earth. It will be the things that have transpired and been fulfilled. You see, brethren and sisters, the Apostle Paul in the fourth chapter of Hebrews expounds for us the symbology of the Sabbath, which we read in that Isaiah 56. And he explains to us that it's the seventh millennia which will be the period, the sabbatical rest that remaineth for the children of God. That, brethren and sisters, is 5 or 6 years from now. And the kingdom will come. 5 or 6 years to the seventh millennia, which is the rest that remaineth for the children of God. That's how near we are to the kingdom of God. So therefore we can take courage. Whatever may be the problems that beset us about, and let us remember the old proverb that says there's many a broken heart beneath a smiling face. But we can see the consolation, the glory and the wonder of the kingdom is here, brethren and sisters, where it's told us in the 16th chapter of the Apocalypse that Jesus Christ will come like a thief. We can hear the thief's footsteps approaching to his ecclesia. In the volume of the book it is written, "He will come." It would seem to the peoples of this world as but a fairy tale to think that the institutions of the Gentiles, the financial structures, the commercial structures, the industry that has been built up over centuries are going to be swept away in an abysm of destruction. In the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would appear to them as fairy tales. But you and I, brethren and sisters, have got confidence in this word, and it's going to be fulfilled. ere many days have passed. And we can but rejoice in the glory of the things that reveals to us. The house of prayer for all people. Can we imagine the change that's going to come over the peoples of this world, where their predominant factor and characteristic is to have utmost respect and consideration for one's neighbour? What a change in the attitudes of men and women that they're going to live together. And so we take courage, and we hope, brethren and sisters, that as we conclude this evening's study together, we will go on our way rejoicing in the hope of our calling, of the glorious and the wonderful things that our Heavenly Father has revealed to us. Why us? What virtue is there in me that the Father called me and have neglected thousands out there? What privilege and honour that has been bestowed upon us, brethren and sisters, that we should understand these things? Perhaps it's the measure and the capacity we have to build up faith and trust in the Word of God. I don't know. But we read from the Word of God these glorious things that are going to come to pass upon the earth, which has been the predetermined purpose of the Father from time immemorial. He declared to Moses in the book of Numbers, "I will fill the earth with my glory as the waters cover the sea." And that's about to dawn upon the earth. And all will be taught in that glorious edifice of a temple, the like of which has never been seen on the earth before. This is our privilege this evening, to look into the house of prayer for all nations, which the prophet Isaiah lays before us in this 56th chapter of Isaiah. So verse 6 then. "Also the sons of strangers that join themselves to Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted on mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people." So then, brethren and sisters, we turn to the prophet Zechariah. And in the second chapter of Zechariah, verse 5, we read, "For thus saith Yahweh, for I, saith Yahweh, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her." So we read in verse 10, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith Yahweh. And many nations shall be joined to Yahweh in that day, and they shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that Yahweh of armies hath sent me unto you. And Yahweh shall inherit Judah his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before Yahweh, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation." So there's the subject, brethren and sisters, that has preceded this one, for the regathering of the 12 tribes of Israel to settle them in their land. The Jews will be brought back to dwell in that land which has been vouchsafed by an oath to Abraham. Because he could swear by no greater, says the Apostle Paul. He swore by himself and bound himself with an oath that Judah should be brought to the land. And the 12 tribes, as Brother Sully has depicted in his studies in the temple chapters of Ezekiel, "They shall dwell in their cantonments, and I will dwell in the midst of them, saith Yahweh." Such is the glorious prospect of the future. And so we read of the psalmist and add his thoughts to the subject. So we read in the 132nd Psalm from the pen of David. Psalm 132. Verse 11. For Yahweh hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I teach them, their children also shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For Yahweh hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed, and his enemies will I clothe with shame. But upon himself shall his crown flourish. So there, brethren and sisters, having regained the whole 12 tribes of Israel, brought them and settled them in the ancient land promised to Abraham, he has chosen one specific place to dwell, and that dwelling place is Zion. This is my dwelling place. Verse 13 tells us, for Yahweh hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. And when we think of the historic associations with that place, can we wonder at all that that is the place that he desires to dwell and to call it himself? In all probability, the lamb that was sacrificed in Eden for the covering of sin for the first parents, typical enactment of our atonement, was in this place, Moriah, where, brethren and sisters, the temple was built, where the Lord Jesus Christ expired upon his tree. Here's the historic place in Zion. That's where the altar of the future temple will be, on Mount Zion. That's the historic associations covering 7,000 years, this wonder, glorious place that Yahweh has chosen. He has chosen Zion. And so we turn to the temple chapters and the 40th chapter of Ezekiel. The 40th chapter and verse 4. Says in chapter 40 and verse 4, and the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I show thee, for to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. We are the house of Israel. Brethren and sisters, we are the spiritual house of Israel. We have been called out to the Gentiles to compose Israel after the Spirit. And here we see an attitude of mind that we should adopt when we consider the temple of the age to come. This is our inclinations, and written into those words of verse 4, behold with thine eyes, hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I show thee. Written into those words, brethren and sisters, is a longing. is a yearning, a burning desire for having read, having understood, having perceived the purpose of the Father. It brings to us, brethren and sisters, a joy and a delight to contemplate the fulfillment and the reality of the things that is laid before us. It should stir us, brethren and sisters, because we are part and parcel of that temple. As we'll see later in our study, without the saints there will be no temple. We are an integral part of that building, and it will not function, it will not exist without the glorified, beautified and exalted bride of Christ. And we have a portion and an inheritance as the called out ones of the Israel of the Spirit. That's what's written in that fourth verse there, that we should develop this inclination and this burning desire for the fulfillment of the things that are written. It's brethren and sisters, when we can see the chapters in Ezekiel, we get the excellence of the temple. You know, where we read in Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 60, Isaiah 60 and verse 5, then thou shalt see and flow together, Isaiah 60 and verse 5, then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And also in verse 11 the prophet continues, therefore thy gates shall be opened continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. And if we look in the margin for the alternative translation for the word forces, it will be the wealth of the Gentiles. And I don't doubt that that is the true interpretation. The wealth of the nations will be brought to Israel for the construction of that temple. It will be exceedingly magnificent, as David said to Solomon when he was preparing to build that temple, which was built by Solomon his son. It has to be exceedingly magnifical. If that was the case for a temple that was to perish and to pass away and to be destroyed by the Babylonish power, what of this temple that shall endure for at least 1,000 years? If David said of his son's temple it will be exceedingly magnificent, what about the excellence of a temple that is to house the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The dwelling place for our beloved Saviour for 1,000 years. When Matthew 25 he says, when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of his glory. We can take those words, it will be a throne of glory, of unspeakable majesty and excellence. That's what will be built in Zion. A habitation fit for Yahweh's children, made glorified and beautified with the divine nature. The wealth of the nations shall come. In the 43rd chapter of Ezekiel's prophecy, the first 5 verses, perhaps we can capture some of the excellence of this edifice. The 43rd chapter, verse 1. Afterwards he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of the Elohim of Israel came from the way of the east. Quite precisely, brothers and sisters, and definitely, Verse 2 says, the glory of the mighty ones of Israel. Who's the mighty ones of Israel? But the glorified and immortal saints. And that, brothers and sisters, is the glory. The glory of the mighty ones of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like the voice or the noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. Unspeakable excellence, brothers and sisters. You see, it says, and his voice. Here's the multitudinous man of the Spirit. They're immortalized, they're incorporated into the glorious Spirit being of the multitudinous man of the Spirit, because they're now sharers of the divine nature. As Revelation chapter 10 tells us about the rainbowed angel. On Revelation chapter 21, where we speak of the number of the angel, 144,000, the mighty ones of Israel. And he says that their noise was like the noise of many waters, called out of all nations, tongues and languages, as depicted in Revelation chapter 5. And now knit together as one Spirit, the mighty man of the Spirit, whose glory, it says, fills the earth. To fulfill what was spoken by Moses, I will fill the earth with my glory. Accomplished here when the saints, in glorious, majestic procession, enters into that house. And we vision it, brethren and sisters. We are at the present very weak creatures of the dust. We are prone to all the ills and the pains and the aches. But he says in Revelation, I will make all things new. And even these bodies will be made new. As the Apostle Paul says, we shall be clothed about with our house, which is from heaven. And renewed, brethren and sisters, with the divine nature. Here we shall walk in solemn procession into that house. Verse 3 says, and it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the visions that I saw by the river Kiba, the four faces of the cherubim. And I fell upon my face, and the glory of Yahweh came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. For the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of Yahweh filled the house. Brothers and sisters, a multitude of the redeemed ones of Adam's race have put on the divine nature. Resplendent in glory, we are in verse 5, constituent parts of the Yahweh name. I will be who I will be, glorified and beautified, and their glory fills the house. Beautiful brothers and sisters to contemplate. And so we turn to the summary of the temple chapters in Ezekiel. The 48th chapter, verse 35 of chapter 48. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be Yahweh is there. That's the end of our journey, brothers and sisters. When we were baptized into Christ Jesus, we set upon a wilderness journey of life. Just like Israel of old, when they came out of Egypt, they faced a wilderness, a howling desert wilderness. And so too our calling has brought us into the wilderness. And according to the terms of Paul writing in Hebrews chapter 12, we have to be subject to the discipline of chastisement. Do you remember in Revelation chapter 3 it tells us, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Because our faith has got to be perfected. And faith is perfected by suffering. One way or the other, we must go through the mill, brothers and sisters. That's what we set our hands to when we took hold of the covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. The truth is never intended to be a bed of roses. But isn't it worthwhile? When we read that verse, the summary of the temple, Yahweh is there. That's the end of our road. That's where we shall be, brethren and sisters. Much time has passed. And so we say, come, Lord Jesus. And so it was obvious, brothers and sisters, when we read from Isaiah 56, it was rather prominent in the verses that we read. In verse 6 of those verses it says, and also the sons of strangers that join themselves to Yahweh, to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh, to be his servant. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. And so then in verse 8 we read, and Adonai Yahweh, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, says, yet will I gather others to him, besides those that are gathered unto him. So therefore, it's not only a temple for Jewish believers, as he says in this verse, that my house shall be a house of prayer for all people. As it says at the end of verse 7, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Jew and Gentile are going to find acceptance in that house of prayer. Do you know, the Master on a number of occasions spoke and acted parables of how the Gentiles were going to be called. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 21 just to demonstrate the call of the Gentiles. And this incident took place in the last 6 days of the life of Jesus, or the ministry of Jesus, 6 days to his crucifixion. Remember the occasion he rode into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of an ass. One thing we want to emphasize through this chapter is that there is a number that is prominent. Number two is ever prominent. So in verse 1 we read, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you. So there's 2 villages. There's Bethphage and the other one is Bethany. They are quite neighbouring villages on the Mount of Olivet. Bethphage and Olivet. So there's 2 villages. And next, he says, at the end of verse 1, there are 2 disciples. And so it says at the end of verse 2, or reading verse 2, it says, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye will find an ass tied and a colt. Loose them and bring them unto me. So there's 2 animals. There's the ass and the colt. When we come down to verse 9, it says, and the multitudes that went before and that followed. So there's a crowd of people, some of them is back behind and some is up in front, so there's 2 crowds of people. Now we won't turn to Mark's record, but if we turn to Mark 11, we'll also find a statement that it's where 2 ways meet. So there's 5 occasions in that incident here, an enacted parable, if you like, in the experience of Jesus. 5 occasions where 2 is emphasized. And the whole way through, brothers and sisters, because it's speaking of the Feast of Tabernacles. That becomes obvious when we read verse 8, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh, Hosanna in the highest." What the crowds were doing, to the best of their ability, with the materials that they had at hand, they were demonstrating their understanding of the Feast of Tabernacles. That the kingdom was coming to Israel. The king was coming. They were keeping, symbolically, the Feast of Tabernacles. And what does it say in verse 5? This is the fulfillment, because the Master is quoting from Zechariah's prophecy. "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and the colt the foal of an ass. Thy king is coming unto thee in the time of the Feast of Tabernacles." The fulfillment of the antitypical Feast of Tabernacles. That time that is about to dawn upon us on the 7th millennia. No doubt about it, brethren and sisters. And the two is prominent and emphasized by the fact that there is Jew and Gentile. Just look at the commentary of this as Paul writes to the Ephesians. Paul writes into the Ephesians in chapter 2. Bearing in mind this prominent number 2. Verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 2. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Gentiles, afar off. You know what he says in the previous verse of the second chapter of Ephesians? "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." You can't be much further off than that, brethren and sisters. "But now," says Paul, verse 14, "for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain," the two, Jew and Gentile, "one new man, so making peace." So then, brethren and sisters, what was initiated by the work and the commission of the apostles is to extend beyond and into the kingdom. Albeit now there is but a chosen few called amongst the Gentiles, but then Jew and Gentile will have access into that temple to worship and to be instructed in the glorious things of the truth. But brethren and sisters, that temple will be of no use whatsoever. There is a prerequisite that must take place before that temple is built, or at least put into practice. And that's what we want to look at. There must be a cleansing and a changing of the hearts and minds of the populations of this world before ever that temple can come into use or to put to the purpose that it's intended. I want you to turn with me to Zechariah's prophecy and the 14th chapter. The 14th chapter of Zechariah's prophecy. When that temple is built, verse 16, the prophet tells us, Zechariah 14, verse 16, "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to worship the King, Yahweh of armies, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Beautiful things. It incorporates all that we've said so far, hasn't it? But there's ominous words there, brethren and sisters. Very ominous, dark words. Because the prophet says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left. You could so easily skip over the words. Everyone that is left. Do you know, brothers and sisters, you can go to a shop, a material shop, these sisters that do the sewing, and you can buy remnants, the bit that's left off the roll. You see, you get a big roll of material, of carpet or linen or whatever. And when all the roll is gone, but a little bit at the end, you've got the remnant. The piece that's left. That's what's going to be left of the nations. It is a first principle that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and he's going to set forth judgments in the earth. Peter tells us that first he's going to judge his household. There's going to be an inspection of his bride. And then he's going to set judgments in forth. So, brothers and sisters, in the 13th chapter of Zechariah's prophecy, verse 9, I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Yahweh is my Elohim. Well, that's Judah in the land. When the Northern Confederacy comes down on that land, two-thirds are going to be killed and destroyed. There's 5 million Jews in the land now. Can we say for rough guesses that there'll be 6 million in that land when Gog comes down on the land? 4 million will be destroyed and 2 saved. That's the left. The bit that's left. 1/3 only will be saved. We turn to Ezekiel's prophecy, chapter 20. The Elijah mission will go forth for the regathering of the 10 tribes, or for the Jews in dispersion throughout the world. Look at these words, brothers and sisters, verse 33. As I live, saith Adonai Yahweh, surely with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you. The 10 tribes coming back to the land. Under the work and auspices of the Elijah mission, I will rule over you with fury, because their stubbornness still remains, just as their fathers in the wilderness of sin as they came out of Egypt. Verse 34, I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. So it says in verse 38, or verse 37, I will cause you to pass under the rod. I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am Yahweh. The end product, brethren and sisters. Thus the chastisement on his people that he's come to save. The end product. You will know that I am Yahweh. Oh, brethren and sisters. That's his people. Turn to Haggai's prophecy. We turn our attention to the words of the prophets as it affects the nations at large. Haggai chapter 2, and verse 6. For thus saith Yahweh of armies, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith Yahweh of armies. Verse 21. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and them that ride in them, and the horses and that ride in them shall come down, and every one by the sword of his brother. Just a little peep, and sisters, of the holocaust of the judgments of the deity. Brethren and sisters, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to come soon, next week, he was to convert the Jews in the land, and they was to build this magnificent temple, and he was to send ambassadors to the nations asking them to submit and come to my temple and worship me. Do you think they would? Do you think they'd submit? This is a very necessary discipline on flesh. For 200 years since the French Revolution, men have been bred upon the system of democracy. Everybody, even babies in the cradle, can demand their rights. The whole cry now is human rights. Do you think they're going to give up the right to do their own thing? Do you think the mighty and the rich are going to give up their power and influence? Very necessary. Before that temple can come into operation, there is the needful factor that flesh must be disciplined, that they will know Yahweh. Friends, sisters, we are talking about a personage that dwells in unspeakable glory, in light unapproachable, from everlasting to everlasting. What are we? At the end of our days, a cupful of ashes. What are we to compare with him? We are dependent upon him for every moment of our conscious existence. He provides the next spoonful of food, the next lungful of air. Friends and sisters, flesh has to be disciplined. You see, in the writings of Paul, in the 1st of Corinthians chapter 1, the whole principle involved is given here, where he speaks of those who would come into covenant relationship, not many mighty men, not many rich men. God has chosen the foolish things of this world, and in verse 29, the principle involved, that no flesh will glory in his presence. That's the principle involved in judgment. No flesh will glory before him. All will fall down before him. Aren't we told in the scriptures, at the very name of Jesus, every knee will bow. At the mention of his name. That's what's demanded of flesh before spirit. You see, if we turn back to Isaiah's prophecy, we read these words penned by the faithful prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 26. And verse 9. Isaiah 26. And verse 9, with my soul I have desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me I will seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. And there's no other way, brothers and sisters. No other way And it is only until such times as flesh is humbled before Yahweh, then the house of prayer can be opened and his gates and portals opened for worship, and not before. So then we come to the 60th chapter of Isaiah, those words that we've read together already, but then, brothers and sisters, read in verse 4, lift up thine eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear, and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Thou shalt fear. Don't read, how many times in the books of the Proverbs do we read, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. And when flesh is prepared to humble itself before the almighty presence of Yahweh, then acceptable worship will be offered. Coming back to Zechariah then, in chapter 6 and verse 15. Verse 15. And they that are afar off shall come and build in the temple of Yahweh, and ye shall know that Yahweh of armies has sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. A preparation of this body of flesh to listen, to be obedient, and to hear instructions of ours. In the 8th chapter and verse 20 we read, thus saith Yahweh of armies, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come a people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before Yahweh, and to seek Yahweh of armies. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek Yahweh of armies in Jerusalem, and to pray before Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh of armies, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. What a change of heart, brothers and sisters, in those verses from Zechariah. What a change of heart and disposition to the proud and the boastful that fills the earth at the present. It will be accomplished by divine judgment. And then, brothers and sisters, when flesh is humbled, then the portals will be opened, and all shall flow unto it.